Bring on Nick Baumgartner of AnnArbor.com. Nick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, guys. Sorry I couldn't be on earlier. I got caught up there, but busy week.
I understand, obviously. Getting ready for you making the trip down to Atlanta to follow the Michigan Wolverines. First time back in the Final Four in quite some time.
Yeah, 20 years. I mean, it's been 2 decades, you know, for these guys, since the Fab Five in 93 was the last time they made it here this far. This year has been kind of a first-time-since thing all season long for Michigan. Obviously they went through all the sanctions and everything else after the Ed Martin scandal and all that kind of wrecked the program, and it took them, probably a lot longer than anybody thought to get back to this. But, they've stuck with it. John Beilein's done a great job since he's been here. This is the sixth season. He's got them back to this point, and I'm not sure if anyone at the time knew if he could get them back this far, even in 6 years. So, just made a lot of strides, playing with a lot of young guys, similar to that team in 93 as well. So it's been, kind of a wild ride and kind of almost an unexpected ride to a degree, too, for these guys.
Nick, talk a little bit about the conference as a whole. I mean, a lot of people were talking about the Big Ten being the best mm-hmm. conference this year. I believe Michigan, did y'all finish fourth this year?
Michigan tied for fourth. Yeah.
Tied for fourth. And talk about that, the competitiveness of that conference, how it prepared them a little bit for the tournament.
Well, I think the one thing to take away was this, with these guys, they have so many freshmen. They play five freshmen in their rotation, and, Trey Burke's a sophomore, and Tim Hardaway's a junior. They don't play any seniors, although that's not that uncommon, I guess. But, they played in so many high-level games. They played in so many tournament-like games throughout the regular season. They played against Michigan State, Ohio State, and those games were just so intense. And then the last game of the season, regular season at home against Indiana, was right down the wire. Michigan missed the layup at the buzzer, and they could have won the Big Ten title, or at least a share of it if that goes in. So many games that were played at such a high level that felt like Elite Eight-type games. So I think that, with this team, what we saw is no stage was ever big enough or bigger than they were used to, because so many times you play in the Big Ten, every single arena is filled. I mean, Michigan had a target on its back all year. They went into so many hostile places. I think they got the court rushed on them 3 or 4 times. So, they were used to playing in these kind of pressure-packed games, and it just looked like it never bothered them at all in this tournament, even against Kansas when it was, getting late and they still looked really down. They just they have always found a way, and really getting away from the Big Ten teams has helped them a lot, too. They don't have to play them again. They didn't have to play them again, obviously. The scouts are a lot harder for other teams that don't know you, so... Yeah, I think it's prepared them a lot. And Michigan, maybe ironically, maybe not, the youngest team, they have the legs. I mean, they didn't run out of gas. I mean, a lot of other teams beat up in each other. These guys are still standing. So, but I do think the Big Ten has helped tremendously for them.
Nick, talk about Coach Beilein and what he's been able to do with this basketball team. 2 years ago, win in the first round, then lose to Duke 73-71 before getting to the couldn't get to the Sweet 16. Last year, going out in the first round. This year, here, making it to the Final Four.
Yeah, I think the last two seasons for him, tournament aside, last year they won a share of the Big Ten, which was a very good conference last year, one of the better ones in the country again, with not a lot of talent. They had Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway and a lot of other guys just filling gaps, and they found a way to win. I thought that was a terrific coaching job in the regular season for him. And then this year, to take the five freshmen and insert them, there's a lot of talent there, but to rely on them so heavily in so many situations and live with their ups and downs and kind of stay positive through it all and get them to kind of buy into what he's doing. They haven't had any issues, off the court. They haven't had any issues with morale or anything like that. They've just kind of really stayed level-headed. Not a lot of coaches can do that with kids this young. They've started two freshmen all season long. They've played others 15, 20 minutes a game all season long. Now they're starting three. So really that's, kind of the testament to him. I mean, they stepped up the recruiting. They got, better players. And really they found a way to make it all work. And obviously having a superstar like Trey Burke helps a lot, too. But he has done a terrific job. Really, I think last year the tournament didn't go well for them, but I thought the regular season was a feather in his cap. And then this is just another getting to a Final Four for a coach like Beilein, who's had such a long road. A big moment for him, obviously, and kind of a career validator, I would say, at the end of the day.
And Nick, for our listeners, talk a little bit about the job that Coach had to do. The way the game's changing now, that with this mm-hmm. one and done and players leaving early, how tough it is. You said five freshmen that are in the rotation to get those guys in, and I believe Michigan won, their first 16, 17 games this year?
Yeah, they were 21-1, I think, at one point. They were number one in the country. But it just, he recruited good kids. I mean, I think at the end of the day, they recruited kids that knew each other, They recruited kids that got along well. They all got here in the summer, and they had good kids returning as far as, you know, kids wanting to buy in and understand. They understood, I think, very quickly that they had enough talent to do a lot of things, and they just kind of had to stay the course. But that's so much easier said than done, and I know, you know, Beilein, he's losing hair, and some of that hair is turning gray. I think it probably doubled or tripled this year even with some of the stuff they went through, just ups and downs of games. I mean, you put, you know, they lost to Wisconsin at the buzzer when Ben Bruss hits in overtime anyway, but the buzzer beater almost at half court puts him into overtime. He's got a freshman, the seventh man in that rotation. He puts him in the game to guard him. It tells him to foul. He doesn't foul. They get the shot that goes in, and Beilein, you can only just kind of bite your lip and say, well, he had to learn that.
Right.
And, you know, that's happened so many different times. And this season has felt like three or four seasons for them. They've gone through so many ups and downs. And I think that they learned a lot of or all of their lessons throughout the year. And they were pretty battle-tested coming into this and got back to playing the way they were in November.
Nick Baumgartner of AnnArbor.com joins us here on Overtime on the Arkansas Mailing Services Hotline. Nick, Trey Burke, a guy last year that my image of him was him missing the three-pointer at Arkansas at Bud Walton Arena to win the basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year it seems like he wants the ball in his hands and he's going to win the game for the Wolverines. And you look back to the game against Kansas on Friday night, hitting that clutch three-pointer from about Waco probably.
Yeah.
But just not being afraid and not shying away from taking over a game. And also, I use Arkansas again, a game that was a four-point game with about 5 minutes to go this year there in Ann Arbor, and he basically takes over the game.
Yeah, I mean, you guys saw it last year and this year. I mean, he's just one of these kids that is just kind of born for this. There's so much poise and so much just, you know, he never gets rattled, you know, ever. And this season for him has been one of the greatest, you know, one of the great seasons for an individual, I think, in Michigan history. He's basically been 18-7, the seven assists that is every night, and the turnovers. I mean, his assist-turnover ratio was number one in the country all year, I think, wire to wire. Just always in control, never rattled, never anything too big for him. And, you know, that it's funny you mentioned that miss last year at Arkansas. He did that. He did the same thing last year against Ohio State. He did the same thing this year against Ohio State, you know, near misses at the buzzer that were in and out to win the game. More often than not, he had missed those shots. But, you know, they kept going back to him, and it was one of those things where it was, you know, at some point he was going to get one of those things to go down before he left here, and he certainly did against Kansas. But, you know, I think he's going to win the Wooden Award. He already won the Big Ten Player of the Year. I think he's been the best and most consistent, you know, college player in the game. And, you know, like we said earlier, the game changes so much. And the way it is today, you know, if you have an elite point guard, you can do a lot of things. It's not like it was, I don't think, 10, 15 years ago where you sit there and say, well, if you don't have an elite center, you can't do anything. If you have an elite point guard at this level, who's at the level of Trey Burke, you can do a lot. And, you know, they run so much through him, and he facilitates others. And he's just turned into, I think, easily the best point guard maybe they've ever had and probably the best player they've had in maybe 20 years.
Nick, talk a little bit about Syracuse and their defensive style as far as playing that matchup zone. Did Michigan play against anybody this year that plays that style of defense?
No, nobody in the Big Ten does that. The only thing, I guess, close to it, although it's not really at all, they played Eastern Michigan, who coached by a former Syracuse assistant, who they ran that zone the whole game. But that's not even remotely on the same level as this
right.
Syracuse. They have so many athletes. But, no, they don't play anybody in the Big Ten that just will sit in the same defense all game long, regardless of what happens, and then have that kind of length. The only other, you know, trick defense or whatever you want to call it, they face VCU with their havoc there in the third round of the tournament, just completely demolished that. But again, this is totally different. It's harder to prepare for because you don't know, is that length, you know, they have shot blockers that'll block shots at the 3-point line. They make it very difficult at the basket. And that's the thing where it's hard for a guy like Burke to just probe, you know, through the lane. When he's playing man teams, he can beat his guy off the dribble more often than not, and he can get into the lane, collapse everything and probe through it. When you're in the zone, it's much harder to do that. So, you know, thankfully for them, they have a week to prepare for it. And I go back to this too. You know, Beilein has done a terrific job, in my opinion, in this tournament at game planning. I don't know if there's been a coach that's done a better job of game planning to his opponent this year than Beilein. I mean, they've been about perfect in some of these things. I mean, they dismantled Florida, dismantled VCU, were right there with Kansas, obviously, and pulled that one out. So they're going to need everything he's got, you know, in his tank. He's faced Beilein before many, many times in the Big East. So, like I said, luckily for them, they have a week to prepare for it. But no, they haven't seen anything, or they will have not seen anything like this until Saturday.
Nick, real quick, we're getting close to our next break. Michigan will win against Syracuse and reach the championship game if they do what, or they will not be able to beat Syracuse if they don't do this well? What would fill in the blanks there?
Well, the easy answer is solving the zone, but I think it's more than that. I think Michigan's offense is good enough to eventually get through that. They have so many weapons. But for me, they'll win the game and move on if they play defense themselves. And that's what got them here in this tournament. They've stepped their defense up a lot. It was bad at times this season, and really their offense has been so good. It's been the top offense all year long in efficiency. They don't have to play elite defense to win. They just have to play a little bit above average, get enough stops so they can get out and run. But if you're going to let Syracuse come down and just make layups and make open jumpers and hope you're going to trade baskets with them like you did against Kansas and hopefully you pull out the end, that's not going to happen. So to me, it's the flip side. They have to play defense themselves, or they're going to be coming home early.
And before we let you go, I want to get your thoughts on Arkansas-Michigan, the football series that will start up,
yeah,
I believe, in 2018 or 19. Brett Bielema could be coming back to Ann Arbor.
How about that? I don't think we expected that to happen when they signed the series, but pretty cool. I think I know Michigan had wanted to get into the SEC and play some of these teams. I know that they wanted to do something where, because you're going to get a return situation for their fans to go somewhere where they hadn't been before. So that'll be a neat experience, I think, for the players, whoever's here at that time, and then mainly for the fans. They get to go down and see an SEC game in a real SEC venue. They played Alabama last year, but that was in Dallas. So, Big Ten and SEC football.
Yeah, and that wasn't much of a game.
And that wasn't pretty. No, it wasn't. So, the Big Ten's always looking for anything it can to kind of get a something against the SEC because it's been so dominant. Who knows what will be going on in 2018. Hopefully we're all still here, right, I guess.
I hope so.
And we'll look forward to seeing you guys.